from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who I don't think I've used the word whence, but tonight we'll be asking who, or who, you know, who, as in doctor, who cares about the holiday season? Doctor Who does, and who says who, like he's in Whoville? Scooch does, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast, to put you to sleep. And here's a couple ways we keep the show going. If you fall asleep fast, just listen close, or remember, when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What would what it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
And there's a, you know, there's a lot of people who help out on this show. Mr. Bard, you got any idea who helps make this podcast so good? Let us know.
This posty poster some sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner.
Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Facebook. You could listen to Sleep With Me in your smart speaker, too. Just say, hey, smart speakers, play Sleep With Me podcast, and then set a sleep timer. Say, hey, Gramps, this is how you listen to Sleep With Me on this smart speaker you've been griping about. It's great. Sorry, Gramps, I'm just giving you a hard time. Anyway, that's it, and let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do, if you so choose, is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is attempt to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts or feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to help with that. I'd like to, well, here's what I propose to do, and then I'll kind of explain it too. If you're new, that's why I do this, but it's also because I like to be a familiar friend. In fact, so familiar, you say, well, Scoots, I'm so familiar with this that I could just fall asleep, would be our long-term goal. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, tangents that are rustified, extra words, super. I don't know if I have superfluidity, but like if you could make superfluous words, like I say, like whatever they, you know, when there's a gas and it's a liquefied. And, you know, I talked about this stuff before. I don't, that kind of stuff I don't get. I say, isn't that, and I guess, but I haven't delved too deep. And I say, wait a second. It's liquefied natural gas. No, 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 no. It's just liquefied natural something else. And I guess you say, well, you put the gas in your, I say, okay, but that's just straight gas. You don't say liquefied natural petroleum gas or whatever the heck it. Anyway, I got to get to. I can't go off topic this soon, and especially talking about the big FF fossil fuels. I don't know if that's that whole thing of liquefying. Oh, well, I was saying, what was I saying? I already have no idea. I think I was talking about super fluidity. My superfluous something else with an alliterative thing. Has super fluidity. The whole idea of the podcast, I guess, is to keep you company. If you're new, let me give you a few pieces of information in all seriousness to introduce you to the show. One, here's the structure. Show starts off with business. That's a key way we keep the show going and free. But if you're new, not that important because you're new. Check it out first. Then we have an intro. Now, this isn't a traditional podcast intro. It's a 12-minute show within a show. where I kind of talk about how the podcast works, and I demonstrate, you know, it, like if I had a lab, like, well, if I had a grasp of science, engineering, the scientific, you know, if I had the scientific method down, that's what I always say to everybody, even in school. I said, well, if I had a lab, I would get the scientific method right down. Or even earlier, this is how it gets stuff. It's, well, if I had a trapper, I wouldn't be getting these Fs if I had a new trapper keeper. Because that's what happens, Pops. My papers fall. They had this thing called a trapper keeper. It was basically an overpriced binder with sideways folders. Actually, it made sense at the time. I mean, here's the thing. I don't have any spare change lying around, but if I did, and this is a free piece of advice, Warren Buffett, call me. Let's reinvest in this trapper. I can tell you it's coming back. Next school year, I bet you, I'm willing to bet I'm willing to bet your money on it, Warren, if you'll give me a percentage if it works out. Okay, what was I saying? Oh, so the intro is a show within a show. Yeah, where there's a lot of superfluous dialogue about how the podcast works. Some listeners fall asleep during the intro. Some listeners get ready for bed during the intro. Some listeners listen during the day. So a few people skip the intro, but it introduces you to the podcast and to the concept over and over again in a new way every time. I hope it feels familiar for a regular listener and welcoming for a new one. Then we have some business between the intro and the show, or the episode part. And then tonight we'll be talking about a Doctor Who episode about a Christmas. You know, there's a lot of cover bands, Beatle cover bands called the British Invasion. And other than Beatlemania, that's probably the number two name for a Beatles cover band, unless someone trademarked it. And or maybe there's just two of the names, like Yellow Submariners, Yellow Submariners. That's, I think if I had a Beatles cover band, I'd need to play music. I'd need my scientific method, my lab, and my trapper keeper. But we'd be the Submariners, the Yellow Submariners. Sorry, Submariner. Submariner, how do you feel about that Aquaman movie coming out? I don't know when it comes out. Might already be out. Khal Drogo is the star of it. He's Jason is his name. He's a strap. He defines if you look up strapping in the dictionary, you'll see him in there. And it seems pretty charming too. Charismatic. You're right. So okay. So the intro is a show within a show. Well, then we'll be talking about Doctor Who. Then at the end is some thank yous and good nights. So that's the structure of the show. It's a little late to tell you this maybe if you're new, but don't try to figure the podcast out. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It is a bit counterintuitive in a way that if you hold it gently, you'll say, okay, I kind of get it. It's hard to get. There's not much to get. I mean, really, this might sound haughty, but this podcast is substantive. If I could have pronounced it correctly, it would have been haughty. Well, its hardiness is in its haughtiness. I guess if I had a soup place, that's what I'd say. The haughty soup shop. But I was going to say this podcast is substantive in its something, in something, but I messed it up. But then I thought of a better idea. Haughty Soup Factory. The Haughty Super. You're right. Maybe. But we'd say hearty in our haughtiness is because it's of our hardiness. What was I saying? I was trying to, your podcast doesn't make a lot of sense. There you go. I proved that right there. And I was just trying to think of something. I did have something with that substantive, our substances in our, insubstantially substantive or something. So don't try to make sense of the show. Just kind of kick back and passively consume it. See how it goes. I mean, most people that review the show say it took two or three times for them to get used to. It doesn't work for everybody, but I'm here to help. It does, like I said, I hope it works for you, but it doesn't work for everybody. So I guess that's a structure of the show. Yeah, we'll talk about Doctor Who in maybe like 8 more minutes. Oh, you don't need to listen to me. You don't need to take me seriously. You can. I mean, I'm serious about making this show. I'm committed. I've done 700-something episodes because I'm here to help. I've been there. But there's no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are about an hour is so I can be here the whole time while you fall asleep at your leisure. But here's the other layer. The shows are complete. I'm here to the very end in case you can't fall asleep. For those other listeners that won't, or if you're one of them, I'm here for you. I'm your boyfriend. So I'm going to be here till the very end to keep you company while whether you're awake or asleep. So yeah, I can't remember what I was talking about before that I thought I was going to go back to. I mean, that's a haughty and hoarder. What about that for like a used, like a secondhand shop? I think that's probably better. We could serve hearty soup there, though, on Saturdays only. Let me try to do an ad read for that. Just read, come on down to the Haughty Hoarder. It was Saturday's soup day. It's hearty, and we're hearty in our haughtiness here at the Haughty Hoarder. A hearty with whatever another word for secondhand items. That starts with H, it'd be great. But come on down. Oh, by the way, we're haughty because I'm always grouchy, except on these commercials, because I want you to come to my store down at the Haughty Hoarder. I guess I'd have to use a pseudonym. I'd be Harry from the Haughty Hoarder, or Harold's Haughty Hoarder, Horace's Haughty Hoarder might be better. That's a name. I mean, Harry kind of doesn't sound like a haughty name. It's a hearty name. Then Howard, I think Harold, Horace's Haughty Hoarder. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'll work with the pseudonyms when I launch this imaginary secondhand shop that whenever, I mean, luckily that'll only exist in my imagination. Well, let's see. Let's recap. So I'm here to help. I'm here to take your mind off stuff. I'm here to keep you company. I covered the structure show. I demonstrated and covered the fact you don't really need to listen to me too closely to see how it goes. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm trying to think of what else I could have missed. I mean, like, the main thing is I've struggled to sleep, and I continue to have ups and downs with my relationship with sleep, particularly last night. I had, like, just, it was just one of those nights, and I said, what in the heck? I mean, I did have to be up early. You know, when you have to be up earlier than normal, that's always, like, that's why this podcast is no pressure to fall asleep when you want to. But when you know that alarm's been bumped up by an hour or 45 minutes, you say, okay, how the heck am I, like, how do you get to sleep again? Don't you hate, so here's a way. Just kick back, just listen. I'm your boar bud. I'm your boyfriend. Maybe if we get to know one another, I'll be your boar bae, your boar bruh, your boar cuz, your boar sib. But I'm here to help if I can. And I really appreciate you giving the show a shot, giving it a try. I'm trying to remember what I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast when the first time I got distracted. Oh, liquefied natural. So yeah, I was talking about the superfluidity of my superfluousness. There's the first time I've gotten back-to-back words correctly in a while. But I don't know. I guess I hate to point out errors with, you know, the giantest corporations in the world or whatever. But I say, it's not, if it's liquefied, how the heck? I mean, and maybe someone could point that out to me. I mean, I'm sure they will. But what's ice in this context? Is ice liquefied, frozen? Water, gas. I mean, I guess I didn't pay a whole lot of attention during these things. But you'd say, so is water liquefied natural water, gas, rain, cloud gas. I'm trying to think of what other things I consume that I can analyze in this way. Or what, you know, I say, well, Scooch, you know, you seem like you're totally relaxed. I say, okay. Must fall asleep pretty fast then. Scooch, you totally are chill. Nothing seems to get at you. What are your pet peeves? Please tell us. Oh, is this Pet Peeves Weekly? Thanks for calling. You know, it's been on my pet peeve. Everybody does that joke, Scoots. It's been on my pet peeve list that you haven't called me. Every interviewee says that. Well, I bet you not every interviewee has this pet peeve, Dawn. It's liquefied natural gas. What's up with that? It just peeves my pets. It makes me want to do a Jerry Seinfeld. How can it be a gas if it's a liquid? Hello? Okay. Well, I guess I'll try cold calling Cat Fancy again, even though I'm allergic to cats and I don't have any, and do my bits about fancy cats. Hello? Okay, even my brain hung up on me. Anyway, I'm here to help. I'm here to be your friend, to keep you company in the deep, dark night. I appreciate you checking this show out. I hope it works for you. Give it a few tries. But here's the thing. I work very hard because I strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep. Thank you again for coming by. And if you're with me still, here's a couple of ways we keep this show going.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, we're here with the episode of Doctor Who. It starts with a view of the moon and then a view of the earth. And this one, I think we might be listening to these out of order, but I'm making them in order. So how you doing? This is my first Doctor Who recording in a while. Might be your second or third listen, though, because this is a holiday episode themed to the Christmas Beatlemania. And we zoom into the earth. We see Jackie and her white Christmas tree. One of those, human-made ones, and she's getting it up. She holds a gift for Rose and sits and contemplates it, thinks of her daughter. Lots of love, Mom. She gets a dreamy look in her eye. She has a lot of holiday decorations in her place, a lot of them. A lot of Santas, and we go over to where Mickey works. Mickey's got a job working in a garage. There's also Santa, older Santa, Frosty and Tinsel in the garage. Jackie has some purple tinsel in her place. The tinsel in Clancy's garage was red. And he's talking to Steve. They have a snowman decoration. They both hear the TARDIS, both Jackie and Mickey, and they run out to the normal spot where the TARDIS goes. And it comes in. It has a bit of a rough landing. And, it does some ping-ponging. probably got seen. Definitely a lot of good graffiti going. Hit some rubbish bins. And the new doctor rolls out. He's all grins and smiles. Here we are, London, Earth, solar system, eh? Kind of stumbles around. Jackie, Mickey, Blimey. And they're confused. He goes, wait, I was about to say something. It's something important I was going to tell you. And he says, hold on, hold on. And then he says, oh, wait a second. And then he says, oh, Merry Christmas. And then he says, I need to take a nap. And they go, who is he? Where's the doctor? And Rose comes out of the TARDIS. She goes, that's the doctor. And Jake says, Doctor who? But she means, yeah, that's the actual doctor. And then the episode opens. And it's good to be back. This is a Russell T. Davies episode. And after it opens, we see the doctor in pajamas sleeping. Jackie has swiped a stethoscope from the seashore. Not from the seashore, though. She swiped a stethoscope from a student. Oh, stethoscope swipes from a student. And Rose listens into his two hearts. Also, she took her pajamas. Jackie's got a new bow, Howard, from the market. He was, like, delivering stuff, and then he brings over some free oranges, and the next thing you know, hubba, 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 PJ's in the house. Harry Jones is on the telly. Jackie's 18 quid better off since Harry Jones is in office. Britain's golden age. Howard or Harriet. Oh, I didn't know if she was 18 quid better off from Howard or Harriet, though, because of the oranges. They're talking about the Guinevere 1 probe, which is set to land at Mars, a descent to Mars, but then a door opens. And, I don't think it was Mars, though. It was like one of the moons or something. And the Guinevere 1 goes in that door to shop with Mickey. Oh, 20 quid. I think Rose borrows 20 quid from Mickey or from, I guess so. Yeah, he says, here's the Christmas present. And then they go shopping. She goes, you see, I'm not used to buying Christmas gifts. You know, in the TARDIS, we don't have that. Things like that don't exist. It's timeless. And Mickey's doing the comedy. He says, oh, I love hearing, tell me more about the TARDIS. I love hearing about the TARDIS and the Doctor. Like, TARDIS this, TARDIS that, TARDIS in a garden full of balloons. And Rose goes, I don't talk about the TARDIS nonstop. Sometimes I talk about the Doctor. TARDIS, Tides of Comfort. Oh, then a band is playing Tides of Comfort and Joy. They're at a Christmas market. Beautiful, beautiful brass band playing music. Mickey, at first I thought they were paper mache Santas. But it ends up they were like metal, like how they looked like Santa. And it was like an early edition of Sanarchy or whatever, SantaCon. Yeah, because it gets wild. And they say, we're just trying to Christmas shop here, not to have a debaucherous time. No mache. Maybe that means no mache, yeah, but metal. They grab a tag. They say, we don't want a metal brass band. We were just hoping for Christmas shopping. They hit a taxi. Meat paste comes up. I think Jackie brought that up and I looked that up, but we won't be talking about that anymore. I did. There will be an article in the show notes about it. She wanted him to bring home some meat paste. Then that's Jackie on the phone. Also chipolatas, which I think are breakfast sausages. Let's see. Bev is on. Jackie's on the phone with Bev. Mo and Peak District. I don't know what that means. Oh, but Bev, you're talking about Mo and the Peak District, maybe? Flats all topsy-turvy. Rose just came in and, you know, jacked the place up. Oh, Rose asked about Mo. She says, oh, Mo's in the Peak District. Rose Buddy. Star Green Tree. Oh, then we see the tree. It's green, not white anymore. And Rose goes, wait a minute, your white tree. And Jake goes, I thought you bought it. And Rose goes, how? And she goes, shopping. It just showed up. There's a ring at the door and the tree was there. And then the tree goes into auto mode and kind of makes a mess, which is a big bummer. It does this whirlwind Jingle Bells thing. And they can't even get, it's making such a mess. Mickey tries to stop it with a chair. It doesn't work. Rose says, doctor, can you help clean up or something? And the doctor sits up, zaps it with his, high frequency screwdriver, sonic screwdriver, and like a remote control. Oh no, he says it's a remote control. And they say, who? They say the Santas from SantaCon, of course, they're pilot fish, and then they teleport out. And the doctor says, I need to get some more rest. And they say, what do you mean? And he says, by the way, the pilot fish, they came early. It means other people are going to come visit Earth. And he says, I'm not doing anything. And Jackie lists like everything. You want this? You want that? A liquid paraffin? And something simple, bowl of soup, a ham sandwich. And we get like, do we get to it yet? Let me see. The doctor says, why is there an apple in my dressing gown? She goes, oh, Howard, he gets hungry. The doctor says, in his sleep? She goes, sometimes. At some point, somebody asks him if he wants any tea. But then the doctor goes back to bed and he has to get back in bed. Let's see, I lost my dressing gown, 12 on 12, something, probe, scavengers, and Mickey goes on Google. But we see, like, somebody from StarCraft on TV. It wasn't the Zerg. I think it was, like, the Protoss. It looks like the Protoss and the Zerg, like, got together, and they say Talados. It's just like a cutscene from StarCraft. They say something, something, Talados. We've combined with the Zerg now. And they say, I thought Protoss and Zerg were, you know, the opposites. And they say something about big government meeting about their unit, UNIT. There's a big government meeting about the probe, UNIT. Harry Jones says she's never off duty, by the way. Also, when the Talados were talking, that was available for all of Earth. She goes, then they talk about how the probe was like five something above 5,000 miles above the planet. And they say, now something's coming towards us, a ship, pretty fast. And Harry Jones says, thank you, Sally. Then we see Mickey. Oh, he's hacking in. He's really good at hacking. I don't know why he's working at a garage. He says something big and fast is coming this way. And then they see the Protoss, Zerg, say, Zakmak Talados. And they said, yeah, just talked more about it in the notes about talking. It looks like kind of looks like Protoss. It talks like the Zerg. And they say, we got to translate this, yo. And they say that we need it. Somebody says, well, too bad we don't have the TARDIS translator. But it's down without the doctor. Part of the circuit's missing because the doctor's sleeping. And phones are ringing. PA systems are going. There's music. There's a silver globe where the government's meeting. They get a call. Oh, U.S. wants to butt in on your business here. And Harry Jones says, tell U.S. to keep it. His president's not my boss. Shows off or something, or maybe the U.S. wanted to show off, and then she says, is this news real or what, or something? And the news person says, off the record, this is going to be our longest night. Then it's a code 9, and Harry Jones is talking with a guy from the government, you know, the UNIT. And she says, you know the doctor? We need the doctor. He goes, you know the doctor? What the heck? He goes, and then she goes, what about Torchwood if we can't get a hold of the doctor? This is a mystery of the season, I think. She says, get them ready. He goes, you're not supposed to know about Torchwood. Then we realize that these Talados, Zergs, are Sycorax, and they want our minerals and stones, according to the translation. And then they say Sycorax rock. And here Joan says, Christmas is a day of peace. And she says, we'd like to extend this thing, peace, holiday peace to you. Somebody says, you know, we never surrender. Maybe that was her about Earth. Because they say, give it up. And we see Jackie snoozing on the doctor as the doctor sleeps. Rose is thinking, and she's a little bit frustrated. She says, the previous proper doctor would wake up. Oh, then somebody says, you really love him. I think, Mickey. And they have a big hug. I think that's what that says. We see the insulation for their house down in London. Resume, perhaps a blue. Oh, there's some sort of blue light spell, which makes people's heads go blue. Some people, and then they just march around London, and they go across people. They go up and they go up and they go up like balloons. And they don't listen to anybody. They're just walking and waiting. And so then there's like wind and dramatic music. And they say this is going on all over the world. Paris, Rome, even regular buildings. One third of the world is just walking around. And Rose is out on her own. Guinevere 1 is leaked or something. Guinevere 1 something. Oh, leaked out everybody's info. They said, she didn't have that triple authentication on Guinevere 1? And the dude says, no, I just put it right on a plaque on the front of it. And here Jones says, does Torchwood have what we need or what? Because it looks like we don't know what we're doing over here. And she goes, it's all A positive. And then they say, the Queen's speech is canceled for Christmas because everybody's walking around the royal grounds even. They say, don't worry about it. Everybody stay calm. And then Harry Jones says, doctor, if you're out there, we need you. Rose is good at it. I mean, I don't think she said that, but I just put that because the doctor still sleeps. And Rose kind of is like, the doctor I know is gone. The doctor I know is, Rose says, the doctor I know is gone. And then there's a bit of a rocky rock. And then the ship shows up. It's like, it looks like a dried, LAVA, like a kind of moon-shaped horseshoe crab. And we also, I saw that this was a special effect. I think the Big Ben was under repair with scaffolding. Rose gets the idea. What does this say? We've got bread for the TARDIS. Move it. It can do anything at home. Move it. You know, take the head. Big Ben's in a repair. Oh, Rose gets an idea. Oh, she goes, we got to get in the TARDIS. Let's move it. We can't get anything done at home. And she says, move it. Then Jackie's trying to pack everything. We see a guy with a handheld pre-smartphone computer, an IPAQ from Compact, IPAC device. He's using it. They teleport up the TARDIS. Oh, first they teleport up all the government employees with the translator. There's lots of cheering from the Talados or the Sycorax. The science dude, he's like pretty much incorrect about every point he tries to make, unfortunately for him. What does this say? Jenny, Gary, Doctor, pass the tinsel. Let's see. Jerry, doctor, pass the tinsel. Jackie is overprepared. They don't want any civilians to talk to the Sycorax. They say, with respect, sir. This is what the science guy says. Or maybe Jerry Jones says, we're children. We need compassion. And they say, no. The Sycorax say, no thanks. And they say, well, what about our rights? They say, no. Then Harry Jones shows her badge. She says, Harry Jones, you know. Fly down, MP, fly down north, now PM. And they say, no, duh, we know who you are. And they say, we're going to give you a bunch of rotten choices. You make one. And she says, those are all rotten choices. And they go into the TARDIS. Jackie drops, she's got so many bags of stuff. And Rose says, I can't fly this thing because I was banned from flying it. Jackie has a T, something very British machinery or something. Maybe she just had tea, but that's very British. And then Mickey works on getting the TV going on the TARDIS. He says, you know, remember I asked you like last season how to get this TV going? And then there's bleeping at Talados Central. And then they energize the TARDIS. They say, we've got a TARDIS alarm here. Energize that TARDIS up here. And then somebody says, you're going to be in misery all the time. Now that Bravo, I don't know. I don't know what that means. But basically, these Sycorax are a big bunch of jokers. And let's see. You're going to be misery all the time. Not that Bravo, I don't know. Rose grabs something. Rose goes outside, and then she's outside. She's with the Sycorax on the ship. But Mickey gets the door closed in time. I guess they had left without Jackie. The tea also gets spilled, leaks everywhere in the TARDIS and hits like a steamer. So it creates a tea steamer. All the Sycorax are cheering. And of course, Harry Jones says, oh, hey, Rose, where's the doctor? And then we see the tea steam with some chanting music. We know it's good. The doctor breathes in some tea steam. And the Sycorax say, yeah, someone's got to be the doctor. And they say, what about this yellow girl? She's in charge because she has the TARDIS. And Rose says, I got to step up. I got to be the doctor. Then all of a sudden, everything starts switching to English. So first, Rose says, I address the Sycorax according to Article 15 of the Shadow Proclamation. Everything she learned in the first season. You need to hit the road according to the Slitheen Parliament, Araxocora, Phallotorpus, Gelth Confederacy, Mighty Jagrafesh, and the Daleks. Bye-bye. And everyone's like, oh, no, this isn't good. And then she can start to understand the Sycorax, they're like, wait a second, the TARDIS must be working. But the Sycorax doesn't like that. Then the hero music comes, and they say, oh, TARDIS is working. And the doctor comes out, and he says, hey, did you miss me? And the doctor goes into full hero mode, kind of says, hey, let's cut this out. He breaks, one of them had a broom. He breaks the broom over his knee. He goes, you got to be careful with your broom. And he goes, hey, Harriet Jones, fly to Hell North, blimey. It's like, this is your life. He goes, all I needed was a good cup of tea, superheated infusion of free radicals and tannin, healing the synapses. And he goes, Rose, how do I look? She goes, different. He goes, good different or bad different? And she goes, different. I liked how the doctor had his hands in his pocket. He wants to know if his hair's red. She goes, no. He goes, oh, I thought I wanted to be a ginger. Then he goes, did you give up on me? He goes, oh, wait a second. Why am I not being myself? Super charming and funny. And then Harriet's like, where's the other doctor? He goes, I'm him, just different face. She goes, what? And he gives her all the info she needs to know. And then he starts playing around the Sycorax. The Sycorax goes, who are you? The doctor goes, cool, that's a good question. He goes, I demand to know who you are. And he goes, I'm the doctor, but beyond that, I don't really know. It's all untested. He goes, what do you think? Am I right-handed, left-handed? What am I style? He goes, I certainly got a gob. And he goes, how am I going to, and he goes, look at this cool giant button you have here. He goes, what kind of button is this? Is this an action button? And he goes, this is a do not press button. And then he goes, I'm going to press it. Let's see. Oh, and then he says, oh, they said that was our hypnotic button to help us with our, taking over Earth stuff. And that clears up all the blue light stuff on Earth. And he goes, Yeah, you can't hypnotize humans forever. They're always evolving. And he goes, look at these humans. Consider their, potential. Let's just hit the road. They got a lot to do. He goes, from the day they arrive, blinking into the sun, there's more to be seen than can ever be seen, more to do than. He goes, wait, that's from The Lion King. But anyway, still good information. And then they say, I challenge you to a dance-off. Everybody laughs. It's the Sycorax are the best dancers. The whole crowd's cheering. And he goes, do you stand as this world's champion? And he goes, dance-off for the planet then. So then they're dancing, and they're dancing inside and outside. And then the Sycorax says, I bet you can't dance with one hand behind your back. And the doctor says, I can. And they keep dancing, and the Sycorax, like, seems like Sycorax had sick moves. They say, yeah, we got sick moves. We're a Sycorax. We rock. There's even some slow-mo dancing. The doctor says, I'm actually into 15 hours of my, regeneration, so I have super dance moves. And the Sycorax says, your dancing is like witchcraft. And the doctor says, no, it's Time Lord. And he goes, that's the sort of man I am. I'm a dancing man. And he ends up winning the dance off. He says, okay, you're going to leave the earth? So he goes, okay, I'll leave the earth. No more dancing. And the doctor goes, okay, great. And then he goes, okay. He goes, not bad for a man in his gym jams. And Arthur says, or the doctor says, this is very Arthur Dent, being in my pajamas and robe. Now, there was a nice man. Then he reaches his pocket. He goes, oh, a Satsuma's in here. He goes, that friend of your mother's, he loves those snacks, doesn't he? He goes, this is Christmas, if I ever heard of it. All those presents right at the bottom, and there's one Satsuma. Who wants it? And then the Sycorax gets up and says, oh, your shoes are untied, doctor. And the doctor says, no second chances in dance-offs. I'm that sort of man. He says they're really cool, though. And then he says, by the way, Sycorax, since I won the dance off, you got to go home for sure. This is my planet. And these are my people. Let's see, Jim Jams, Arthur Dent. Even Mickey's really happy about it. The doctor and the prime minister, key lock to heavens and told you you're getting noticed. Oh, so they have a talk after they win. Yeah, everybody hugs. Everybody says, yay. And he goes, well, now everybody knows because the Sycorax are on national television. And more people are noticing Earth. So you get noticed more and more. You get used to it. And Rose goes, Jackie comes. They go back to London. She says, oh, doctor's good. She goes, yeah, the tea did it. That's all I needed was a cup of tea. And she goes, is that the prime minister? And everybody gives a hug again with Jackie's there. Then one of the government dudes says, Torchwood's ready, prime minister. And so they use some Torchwood, Star Wars thing. It takes out sends the Sycorax all the way to the big farm in space. And they say, Harriet says, they were leaving. What are you doing here? The doctor says, Harry, what are they doing? They were leaving. What are you doing? And they say, okay, well, she goes, my job's for Earth and Earth first. And the doctor goes, Britain's golden age. And Harry goes, yeah, it comes with a price. And the doctor goes, I don't know about it. I don't know about it. I know I was pro-human before, minutes ago, but now I'm not so sure. And Harriet goes, well, what about you, doctor? And he goes, don't challenge me, Harriet Jones. I'm a new person. And she goes, you're remarkable, but, the doctor goes, yeah, well, I got six words for you. Six words. And she goes, stop it, And he whispers to the other guy, don't you think she looks tired? And then they leave. Let's see what other notes you're getting. Notice I said so. Bleeding prime minister. It comes with a price. Dude's on Bluetooth for the government, of course. And after she says that, she goes, "Doctor, what did the doctor say to you, Bluetooth?" And he goes, "Don't worry about it." Then we see another level of the TARDIS, a living level, closet level. And there's good music. The doctor's trying on things. At first, he's like, "A nutcracker suit? No." He goes, "Scarf and jacket? No." Then something else. I couldn't read my handwriting. It looks like torgery. But then he puts on a suit, a three-piece smooth suit, and then a leather duster. At first, I thought it was a raincoat, but then I realized it was leather. And he looks, he goes, "Man," and then we see a couple other levels, like a spiral staircase. And then Doctor rolls into Jackie's flat and grins, and it's Xmas. They're all putting on the Christmas crowns and the Christmas crackers, watching TV. Harry Jones has been declared unfit for office. She goes, "I'm fine. Why? I don't know why everybody thinks I'm unfit. Look it up. Harry Jones is doing great." And she goes, "It's Christmas." And then they go, and it's snowing outside, but they say, "Well, it's not quite snowing. It's Sycorax tears, which are like snow." And they go, "Man, this is," and then they see little shooting stars, and they go, "Yeah, those are also Sycorax tears." And the doctor goes, "Yeah, brand new Earth. No denying people from other planets now. Everyone thought everything's new." And Rose goes, "Well, what's next?" The doctor goes, "Back to my old life on the TARDIS." Rose goes, "On your own?" He goes, "Aren't you coming?" And she goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Really?" And she goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I thought because I changed." And she goes, "Well, I thought because you changed, you wouldn't want me to go." And he goes, no, I want you to come. And she goes, "Great." And then Mickey goes, "Are you?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm going, Mickey." And Jackie says, "What are you two going out there looking for stuff that, you know, challenging stuff?" And she goes, "The challenge is just the in-between. It's all waiting out there, Jackie. Brand new to me. Yeah, planets and creatures and horizons I haven't seen yet, not with these eyes. It's going to be fantastic." And then the doctor and Rose hold hands, still in a way that's like hard to define. Jackie's arms are crossed. Mickey seems down. And then they go, "Where first?" And doctor goes, he points up to the sky, goes, "That way." And he goes, "No," he points another way. "No," he ponders it. "No, hold on, that way." And she goes, "Yeah." And then there's like this long smiling doctor look. And the episode comes to a close. All right, so a couple of things came up in this episode. One was the sign that said no ball games. I looked up this article in The Guardian. Lindsay Hanley from the 2nd of July, 2015. It was about the North London was reviewing the use of no ball game signs on its estates to encourage children to play outside. And the mindfulness of such times seems to reinforce an unfortunate British attitude towards the idea of people doing things. NIMBYism made concrete, rather metal. And they talk about how Banksy did that mural with the two children playing catch with the sign. Such instructions forbidding ball games and roller skating sometimes, too. They're not even enforceable. They're simply there to discourage in pride, yet their continued presence suggests a long history of uncomfortable relations between children and adults on British estates. The use of those signs arose in tandem with a litany of rules, both written and unwritten, surrounding the maintenance of order and respectability on early council estates. There's a whole history about these post-war estates when they were rushing to build new homes. And the layouts and landscapes were urgently discussed, completing plans for the Woodchurch estate. They said, "Well, let's allow it to the estate's residents to keep away from each other as much as possible and to retain the friendliness of little streets, to build houses looking away from each other or to cluster them around village-style greens to encourage neighborless and informal social encounters. The latter was rejected by a Tory-led council on the grounds that children would make them into football grounds. The author said, where I grew up, no ball game signs were ubiquitous and had little relevance because we played mostly on the paths anyway, or on the road, which back then had less traffic. And, you know, maybe at some point, you know, discourage children to just play. And, you know, as more and more people own cars, they became more socially respectable. You couldn't play wherever you wanted. But still, the back gardens had these invisible rules, which stated that playing in public was no longer okay. Attempts at playing badminton with my parents resulted in us getting told to pack it up by a curmudgeonly neighbor. Play streets, the precursors to present-day home zones, were legislated as early as the mid-20th century. It's just an interesting article over at The Guardian about it. Also linked to just a tiny thing about the Banksy thing, but it just kind of was mentioned there. Then stethoscope came up. So I said, let's look up on Wikipedia, history of stethoscopes. It was invented in France in 1816 by René Laennec, at the Necker-en-Fonds in Paris. And it was a wooden tube that was monaural. Because it was like I kept having to just put my ear against people's things to hear their heart. Rene observed that a rolled piece of paper placed between the chest and the ear could amplify heart sounds without requiring physical contact. Similar to the common ear trumpet used in cartoons a lot back then or later in life. And his invention was almost indestructible in structure and function from the trumpet. Called it the stethoscope or the chest scope, and used it. And then, 1851, there became like Arthur Leonard developed a binaural stethoscope. 1852, George Philip Kaman. Perfected the design of the instrument for commercial production, which has been the standard ever since. In 1858, there was a stethophone, which had two separate bells able to compare sounds, I guess. So there's a little bit of interesting stuff about the stethoscope. This is also in the query. This query is also from the Guardian. From Somatic Enigmas. I don't have a date, and it's loading really slow. Why do we refer to the pound as a quid? Martin Quinton from Wimbledon asked. Mike Whitaker suggested it comes from quid pro quo. An equivalent for something also suggests originally referred to a sovereign. Also, Mark Power from Dublin said quid pro quo. Richard Thompson from Denmark said, once upon a time, Gaelic-speaking Irishmen in the British Army would refer to my money as mo twid, quid, being an omnibus word for thing, piece, possession, collection, money. So, soldiers adopted a reference to what they heard as quid to mean the pound. A lot of people, though, put quid pro quo. So I guess from quid, which stands for the pound in Doctor Who. So that's a little bit. What about a chipolata? I did not know what a chipolata was. Yeah, but it's a type of fresh sausage created in France. The breakfast sausage is basically pork, salt, and pepper with some herbs and spices. Common in the UK as part of Christmas dinner, wrapped in bacon as pigs in blanket. I just learned chipolata and satsuma. This was an interesting article because there was a little bit of insulation exposed in Jackie's apartment. And so I said, why is some, you know, there's this big push of pink insulation in the U.S. So I wanted to read about that. And this actually comes, this is an article in The Blade from Toledo, written by Marlene Harris Taylor from October 27, 2013, about Owens Corning, which has been in the pink for 57 years. The insulation company uses the color pink in its insulation products and uses the Pink Panther in the advertising for 33 years. They just renewed the rights in 2007 for another 15 years. The color is considered an asset that was registered as a trademark, and it can carries the value of pink on their balance sheet. They won't space a place of specific numerical value on it, but it's, you know, really been a part of their brand. They used it as a way to distinguish its insulation products from other companies, and it was a brilliant move, according to Mr. Fisher. The challenge is that they're all pretty similar, so the pink and the Pink Panther sets it apart, and it's well-loved and well-known. And that was the idea, to differentiate their products when they decided to add pink to the color. It was used to be yellow, which wasn't that great. That was just part of the process. And they were doing research in Newark, Ohio in 1957 with red dyes. And they used the color pink to show that theirs was different and better. And they said, quote, I don't think we ever realized the power of pink in the marketplace. And we realized we had something different on our hands. It was the color. And then 25 years later in the 80s, they started using the Pink Panther cartoon character in commercials with music by Henry Mancini from the movie franchise. And it continued to, they continued to increase their market share so much so that, yeah, they kept it up there. So it's just a major brand move. Really interesting. You can check out the article for more details. There was also this IPAC, I-P-A-Q, an early handheld computer, which I didn't ever own one of these. I did want one. It was a pocket PC unveiled by Compaq in April 2000. And it was come from their earlier IPAC personal desktop computers. The product was marketed by HP because they merged with Compaq. It used a Windows mobile interface. There was also several Linux ones. And they had sleeve accessories, technically called jackets. You could use it for wireless, a GPS, a card reader, extra batteries. And it was developed by their strong ARM development group in their Hudson, Massachusetts facility. It was seen as a highly promising platform. So I guess this was like the time of the Palm Pilots and stuff like that. Kept coming up with new models, 2005. So they kept developing it, but I'm sure at some point it, you know, they... once you could do this stuff with your phone, let's see what other info I could get, if there's anything else. There's a lot of different models. I used a Palm Pilot for a while, but personally I found the Palm 5 to be the best, but I had used a different one to try to stay organized in my past existence. But I don't know, I just saw it there and I said, I remember those things. Okay, what about gob? Because I didn't know what he said. I got a gob, the doctor. I didn't know what that meant, so I had to look that up. Another learning opportunity. Gobbin, it could be from Middle English, to drink greedily. Gobbin, gabbin. Or globin, to drink down. Let's see, gob is a noun, lump of soft or sticky material. Mouth, stuffing his gob with fast food, spittoon stuff, prefabrication, prefab stuff could be a gob. What is this? A sailor. Oh, okay, so it could be a sailor. Is that what it means? I don't know. I don't know what he was using it. So is it mouth or that he's a sailor? Can't even remember what he said. He said, I got a gob. Maybe it just means, you know, the doctor uses his mouth for a lot of things. Okay, Satsuma, let's go on to that, which is a easy-peeling citrus species, also known as Unshu Makan, cold hardy mandarin, satsuma orange, and tangerine. It's of Chinese origin, but introduced to the West via Japan. So I don't know if this is like one of the super popular little nectarines that everybody opens. I guess it is mandarin oranges, about the size of a mandarin orange, seedless. One of the sweetest citrus varieties. Leathery skin dotted with large and prominent oil glands attached around the fruit, but easy to peel. Jesuits brought the fruit from Asia to North America in the 18th century, starting groves in Louisiana, and still popular there. And it spread, but it said it was originally in Japan too. So from in the Satsuma province of Japan. So maybe the Jesuits were there and they brought it. So it's a little bit about Satsuma, you know, with the Wikipedia quick research is always quick. Now, what about the duster? That's what I thought the doctor was wearing at the end. Full-length, light-colored canvas or linen coats worn by horsemen to protect their clothing from trail dust. Slit up the back for ease of wear on horseback. Intended for riding. Buttonable rear slit. Leg straps to hold the flaps in place. Protection against the rain could be made from oil cloth or waxed cotton. People wore them to protect their clothes, and they were popular in Western films. So I don't know if that was what the doctor had, or it's just a leather raincoat, or maybe it was not leather. And finally, let's cover the Christmas cracker, also known as bonbons in Australia. Part of Christmas celebrations in the UK, Ireland, and Commonwealth countries, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa. Definitely getting more and more popular in the U.S. It's a segmented cardboard tube wrapped in twists of paper with a prize in the central chamber, making it represent an oversized sweet wrapper. It's pulled apart by two people, each holding an outer chamber, causing the cracker to split, and one person gets the prize. A split usually has a little pop to be, you know, fun for everybody. And it can be, you know, just natural or an added effect. They're typically pulled at Christmas dinner table or parties. In one version, the person with the larger portion empties the tube and keeps them. In another, each person has their own cracker and keeps it no matter what. Typically, it's kind of wear a colored papered hat, like a crown, a small toy of a plastic model, or other trinket with a model, joke, or riddle, or a puzzle on a piece of paper. The paper hats with the appearance of crowns are usually worn when eating dinner. The tradition of wearing festive hats dates all the way back to Roman times. You should see the doctor and Rose in their crowns. The doctor had a red one. Rose had a pink one. Yeah, Roman times. And Saturnalia celebrations, which involved decorative headgear. Oxford English Dictionary records use of cracker bonbons and pulling crackers from the 1840s. Tom Smith may have invented them in 1847 during his development of bonbon sweets, which he sold in a twist of paper. His sales of bonbons slumped, came with a new promotional idea. First, love messages in the sweets, then a crackle element, just like a log on a fire. Then he replaced the candy with a trinket, fans, jewelry, or other items. It was originally called the Cossack, but the onomatopoeic cracker became more commonly used in name. Other elements of the modern cracker, the gifts, paper, hats, and designs was introduced by Tom Smith's son, Walter Smith, to differentiate the product, which as competition came up. They should have made it pink. They should have put some pink stuff in there. And they merged with Cayley crackers in 1953. There's a fountain dedicated to Tom Smith and the family in Finsbury Square in London. And the longest cracker pulling chain of 1,081 people was at the Herodian School in Barnes, London, UK, 10th of December, 2015. Also, you're not supposed to bring them on planes. So that's a little bit about crackers, a little bit of the holiday season with the doctor and Rose and Mickey and Jackie and even Prime Minister MP Flydale North, Harry Jones. Thanks and good night. I want to thank everybody for viewing the show on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. This comes from Annalise, for very helpful to getting to sleep, from New Zealand. Been a helpful tool I've used. Listened to one, thought it wasn't for me, then went back a week later and found it'd be great. Now listening for 6 months, loving the Good Place ones because I love that show. Pop Lanny says good, but they 3 stars. They also said something, so I don't know what that review was. Molly with a K says magic. Sleeping to me really works. So within minutes, I'm out. Also great when I wake up in the middle of the night, can't fall asleep. But my other use is during work. I get easily distracted by constant conversations around me. Scooter helps me focus on the work since I don't have to pay attention to what he says. Then Carbar says, is this a joke? No, seriously. I don't understand how anyone can stand this man's voice. And not to mention the uneven tone, even for a minute, in order to I'm bewildered. Sorry, Carbar. There's no accounting for bad taste, I guess. Planet Ukulele, though, it works. Title says it all. Podcast puts me to sleep no matter what stress is flying through my brain. Calms me down and I'm asleep before the introduction's done. Miss Punchy says, really amazing. This relieves stress and anxiety. Love this podcast so much. You really should listen. It works. It's nonsense what Scoots is saying, but it works. Seriously. Lizzie R., thankful to this podcast. Have a hard time falling asleep. Can't get my mind shut off. Podcast's been a gift. Fall asleep 90% of the time when I put it on. Helps when I wake up and can't fall asleep. Is put an end to the countless nights, sleepless nights. Whiskey 88 Double Aunt says, I wish I could stay awake because he's hilarious. Scoots' ramblings lull me to sleep. Laura C. says, changed my life. No longer an insomniac. I've been listening every night for over a year, and it's the only sleep aid I've ever found that works for me. I used to dread going to bed, knowing that, you know, I'd be tossing and turning. Scoots is a sweet, funny, smart, comforting boyfriend. And you could hope for original stories like Girl That Raised by the Amusement Park and After Glass. Some of my favorites. Thanks and keep up the work. Iris also says thank you. My partner and I listen to this every night, fall asleep. We both drift off during the intro. Stories are creative and clever. Thanks to Scoots and the team. And Resi Bean, I think I thanked, but thanks again. Comfort in the deep dark helps me fall asleep more easily. A friend to comfort you for the long night. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show, you know, or TROLLing it, whatever. But thanks if you want to review the show with your honest experience. Go to Sleep With Me Podcast. Oh, no. Go to Apple Podcasts on your phone or iTunes on your computer. Thanks. Have a great night. Sleep With Me is a part of Night Vale Presents and PRX. You can check out all of Night Vale shows over at nightvalepresents.com and PRX at prx.org. Sleep With Me relies on a value-for-value model of people supporting the sponsors or becoming a patron. You can find out all about either one at our website, sleepwithmepodcast.com. And let's see, here I go. I'm going to tuck you in and say, hey, you're doing pretty good, human. Get in there. Cue up another episode. Get cozy. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts,
in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. Feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.